Welcome in to another episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you're all having a great week wherever you may be listening to this podcast across our great country or our great land. My name is Will Hyland. It is December 14th, 2023. There's a lot to get to today, as I always say. And the first place I want to begin is the NFL. So we'll get to that in a moment. It's the time of year. We're getting close to the end of the year. People are starting to get busy. People are starting to travel. So I appreciate it if you listen while you're traveling for the holidays. The NFL is wild right now. It really is. And I think one thing that I've learned is 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that's an eternity in the NFL, let alone a year or 2 years, right? You know what I mean? Like, let alone a year or 2 years. It's a unbelievable sport where it's a what have you done for me lately? It's a dog eat dog, all those cliches, but it's true. And one of the things that stood out to me is a couple of weeks ago, I said pretty confidently that there wasn't a path I saw where the Philadelphia Eagles would not be the number one seed in the NFC. Well, what's interesting is it didn't take long, like some of my takes in the past, it didn't take long for that to become obsolete. Philadelphia loses to San Francisco. So now 2 weeks ago. So this was prior to the San Francisco game. I thought Philadelphia was going to beat San Francisco. I thought they were going to, even if they lost to Dallas, they would still have that tiebreaker over the 49ers. And that was going to be their ticket to hosting another NFC championship game. But 2 weeks ago, San Francisco pulls off a win. I believe it was in the late afternoon window on the 3rd of December. And it wasn't just pulling off a win, as I just said. It was a 42-19 resounding victory. San Francisco then wins the following week against Seattle, and they have a favorable schedule the remaining part of the year, with the exception of a game against the Ravens, which could be difficult on Christmas Day, but that is in prime time. But this is more of a point about Philadelphia. I was so confident in the Eagles that I didn't realize how quickly a season can change. So not only did Philadelphia lose to San Francisco, they then also lost to Dallas. And so subsequently, not only are they no longer the number one seed in the NFC, they're no longer the number one seed in their own division. That now belongs to the Cowboys. Because Dallas took care of the Eagles and last week after beating the same Seahawks team. So all these teams are playing the same kind of teams, and it's ultimately the Cowboys who pull out at 10-3 and the Niners who pull out at 10-3. But because San Francisco beat Dallas way back on October 8th, 42-10, in a similar way that they beat Philadelphia, it's San Francisco who's the number one overall seed. So the interesting thing about all of this prediction is that 2 weeks ago, I thought something was so clear based on what I had seen through the first 10 games of the year or whatever. Now that doesn't look so clear anymore. But yet, the situation today closely resembles what I thought was going to be at the beginning of the year. So that's how much the NFL changes. I think it's going to be one way. It doesn't turn out to be that way for most of the season, but because of recent events, it's now looking more like it did at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, with Diesel and Cam Kesa on our NFL preview show, I left open the possibility that two things would happen. Philadelphia was going to lose games that they didn't plan on losing, that were going to cost them home games, or that they could lose a home playoff game, and that Dallas could end up playing San Francisco on the road in the NFC title game. And at this point, That's what I would still predict. So as much as I say that my predictions are ebbing and flowing, at this point in the season, I think Dallas looks like a really good, really strong team. They have a lot of wins by double digits. They play good complementary football. Dak Prescott is doing what he needs to do. He has weapons around him. That defense is hungry. And I look at the rest of the NFC, and I still think you have to take Philly seriously, even though they've struggled late, losing two in a row. But I look at the rest of the NFC. Detroit has struggled. They started out, 9-2? They've now lost to the Bears and the Packers two out of the last 3 weeks. I think whoever wins the NFC South is going to get upset by whoever comes in second in the NFC East in the first round. So I'm not really losing sleep over the Baker Mayfields of the world down there in Tampa. Minnesota is intriguing. I still think, man, Kirk Cousins injury and the subsequent quarterback drama there and the bad start, all of that wrapped up into one. That's a Viking team that is somehow 6-3 in the conference still, despite that bad start. Green Bay is faded. They lose to the Giants on Monday night. The Rams are hanging around. The Seahawks are hanging around. The Falcons are hanging around. The Saints. And don't sleep on the Giants if they get hot with Tommy DeVito. So the thing about the NFC is it's still kind of open at the bottom half, but it's pretty much a three-horse race, in my opinion, to take home the conference title. And similarly, over in the AFC, for most of the year, my conventional wisdom was that the Chiefs were the new Patriots, that the Chiefs were going to get better as the year progressed, that that's what the Patriots used to do when they were in the middle of their dynasty. But as time has progressed, the Chiefs have actually made me less confident. They lose to the Bills and the Packers back-to-back weeks, right? They lost to the Eagles way back on the 20th. So they've lost 3 out of 4. Not to mention a loss to Denver at the end of October. So the losses are starting to pile up for Kansas City. And I still think that you have to respect them in the playoffs because of their pedigree. I always thought it was laughable when people would count New England out of the playoff hunt for a Super Bowl berth, you know, before they'd even suited up in the divisional round yet. There were a few years where they ended up in the conference championship and they weren't really that good. This could be a 2013 or 2012 kind of Patriots team manifesting itself as a Kansas City Chiefs team, in which they might make the conference championship, but I'm not sure anymore if you can really anoint them as the favorites in this conference based solely off their history. I would never count them out, but I look at the conference and look, it's Baltimore and Miami at this point. You know, Miami had a tough loss to Tennessee, and they do have a head-to-head loss against Kansas City if it comes to that. They're all separated by a game right now. And Baltimore and Miami will play each other on New Year's Eve. I would expect that game to get flexed if it hasn't already. Considering the playoff implications that will occur, that could very well determine who is home field in the AFC. But where I think the Chiefs factor into this again is, don't forget, Patrick Mahomes has never played a road game in the playoffs. They had home field advantage his first year in 2018. 2019, they were the second overall seed, but because of a Tennessee loss prematurely, they end up because of a Baltimore loss prematurely to Tennessee, they end up having home field as a 2. In 2020, the COVID year, I believe they were the number one seed that season as well. They ended up playing the Bengals. No, excuse me. the Bills in the in a divisional round. That was the year they ended up playing Brady in the Super Bowl. I forget their path to the Super Bowl that year, but if they weren't the one seed, then they were the two. I can't remember in 2020 who would have been the one. Possibly Tennessee still, but they may have had a premature loss. It's all sort of blending there, but the point is Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. And this year, obviously, he's won two rings already. I'm not taking anything away from him. You know, beyond those years that I talked about, he had some home losses, right? He lost to Joe Burrow in an AFC championship at home, only to beat him the next year in a rematch. That was very Brady-esque of him to do that. But he only has, I think, three playoff losses. And two of them are to Brady, one of which was on a neutral site in the Super Bowl. And one was in that AFC championship game in the 2021 season. And so if they're not the number one seed, and a lot can still happen, and there's, you know, four games left. But if they're not the number one seed, and Mahomes has to go to Miami or to Baltimore in a divisional round, or host a team that's sneaky like Denver or Houston or Indianapolis. I don't really know if Pittsburgh is going to be able to hang on. They have a good divisional record. But if they end up having to play one of these teams that gets in sneakily, I mean, they are vulnerable. Jacksonville played them pretty well last year, all things considered. We'll see about Trevor Lawrence's health. So I guess my overarching point with the AFC is conventional wisdom says, yes, it's the Chiefs until it's not. That's what I believed. But based on what's happened this year, especially the last 4 weeks, them losing 3 out of 4, there's a strong possibility that Mahomes is going to play his first road playoff game. And they're going to have a little bit more adversity than they've ever had since he's took over the helm. I know he was injured for a few games and they had a rough patch in the middle of the 2019 season. They still won a Super Bowl that year. But this is sustained adversity over long periods of time, right? There's a lot of people questioning them now. Last year, I know they made up that nobody believed in them. I think this year, if they win still somehow, this would be more impressive. First of all, they'd be the first team to repeat since the 04 Patriots. But I just have a sense that it's going to look a little bit different in January than what we're used to. And whether that's Philadelphia having to go to Dallas, whether that's San Francisco getting to host one of these conference title games for the first time in a while, you know, all these things are up in the air. You know, I don't know what the future holds, but something tells me it's going to look different. And we know to an extent that it is, right? Like, Miami's going to be a top seed. They're going to have a home playoff game. I don't know the last time there was a home playoff game in Miami. Buffalo might not make the playoffs. Cincinnati might not make the playoffs. Conventional wisdom told you at the beginning of the year that it was basically a three-team race between the same teams it has been for a couple of years now, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Kansas City, and that it would look a lot like the NFC looks. But conventional wisdom was lost in the NFL, in my opinion, a long time ago. And based on, you know, I just want to touch on this real quick. The crying of Chiefs fans the other night when they lose to Buffalo. Finally, Buffalo gets their win over Kansas City in a meaningful game there. You know, I think Buffalo shows up in the big games, and I think Mahomes, for most of his career, has sort of been a media darling. Like, he's a very nice guy, seems like a very likable guy, very humble guy. But I think Sunday night was the first time in his career that he sort of faced some questions about his character. For those of you who missed it, I don't know how, but Kadarius Toney was ruled offside, which took away a touchdown play in which Travis Kelce had lateraled him the ball after he had started out ruled offside. And the Chiefs were upset with the call because they believed Toney deserved a warning. That's essentially the crux of the drama there. To me, what's more troublesome is not that they freaked out over a call. I mean, if you go watch Tom Brady after the Pats lost the game to Carolina in 2013, he was eating the ref right in front of him. He's known to do that. He was known to do that. But what I never saw Tom Brady do, and this is what Mahomes did the other night that bothered me, is it was a sign that they're facing adversity that they haven't faced before, is Mahomes went up to Josh Allen after the game and complained about the call. You know, he didn't say congrats to Josh Allen that I saw. And instead it was an implication that, hey, buddy, yeah, the only reason you won is because the refs screwed us. And, I mean, Josh Allen could have said, hey, yeah, the only reason you have another Super Bowl appearance is because, or a conference championship game appearance is because I didn't get the ball in overtime a few years ago. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, well, what? You know, and so that's what bothered me about Mahomes is, it's like, dude, you've won so much already. It's hard to win in the NFL. Nothing is guaranteed. And so that's what drives me nuts about Mahomes, like, pretending that this was some grave injustice because they called the play correctly. You know, we've now reverse engineered the NFL. We've reverse engineered a lot of things. Like, for example, the cell phone. We want to do everything on our phones except call people. The cell phone was created when my parents were, you know, young parents because they wanted people to be able to talk to, people to be able to talk to each other. You know, if you have a teenage kid, you know, you want to be able to talk to them, make sure they made it home. All right. Nowadays, your teenage kids wants to do everything except call somebody on the phone. And I can say that because I'm only 26 and I'm not that far removed from that exact line of thinking. But that's essentially what we've done with the NFL officiating. We've gone from complaining that calls are being missed or calls are being made that are incorrect to now complaining that a correct call was made in a bad situation. So we've reverse engineered bitching about the refs to meet our 2023 standards of perfection. It used to be, in my opinion, that instant replay was there to correct the 5% of calls that referees miss because we're humans and, you know, we have naked eyes. Now, things that aren't reviewable by instant replay that are clearly so objective that they're hard to miss and hard to mess up. Like, it is hard to mess up a offsides because it's so objective. It's not like pass interference or a catch where everyone has a different opinion. Like, it is very explicit, offside or not offside. And so the call was made correctly. That's the correct call. He was offside. Now, you can complain about, well, they never call it. Well, okay. That doesn't make the correct call incorrect because they never call it. The Chiefs benefited from holding in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, no pun intended there, evil or Freudian slip there, Eagles, against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. They benefited from a defensive holding call against Philadelphia that was very subjective and that hadn't been called all game. And so if they want to bitch in literally 10 months later about the call being made on the field that hadn't been made yet all game, even though it was objectively true and less gray than the one they benefited from in the Super Bowl, then I don't really know where they have a leg to stand on. And I think Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes have sort of retracted on some of their on some of their complaints from Sunday night. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Pats and the Chiefs are playing this week in Foxborough. The last time that happened, N'Keal Harry's touchdown was called back because they thought he stepped out of bounds, even though instant replay clearly showed he didn't. And I'm not sure it was even able to be challenged by the Patriots because New England had already challenged a ruling on the field earlier in the game in which Travis Kelce fumbled and Stephon Gilmore recovered it, but they had ruled Kelce down even though he clearly wasn't down, right? So the Chiefs want to talk about refereeing. I mean, there's plenty of situations where it benefits everybody. That's why, as a Patriots fan, for all of my life, I've heard you get ring one because of Spygate, ring two because of the Tuck rule, ring three because of deflate, all these things. At the end of the day, it all comes out in the wash, and what goes around comes around, and the Chiefs are finally facing some of that adversity that they didn't have to face because they were clearly better than everybody else, and it all got washed away because they were so much better. Now they're starting to face some of that adversity, and I don't think they're reacting well. All right, speaking of reacting poorly, switching gears to the NBA here, Draymond Green suspended indefinitely for a hit. And I say hit as if it was a football play. It was a literal hit. It was like he slapped him in the face practically. And by him, I mean the Phoenix Suns center, Yusuf Nurkic, I believe I'm saying that correctly, in a game on Tuesday. He literally slapped him in the face. And I believe he was suspended earlier this year for putting Rudy Gobert in a headlock. Now, Rudy Gobert is famous in my brain for touching microphones and stuff and being like the first guy in sports to get COVID. I forgot he actually played for the Timberwolves now. But that I believe that happened like 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that. And so it's not even just the first time this year. This has happened throughout Green's career. For that reason, he's been suspended indefinitely. And I think what's important to understand whenever somebody is suspended in sports is these things happen because these people are employees first. Like, to us, they're superstar athletes. To the NBA and the Golden State Warriors, they're employees. And if you slap somebody at work, you know, you're either going to get fired or you're going to get fined or you're going to lose pay, which is essentially what's happening here with suspensions and fines and whatnot. It happens in all sports all the time. And in this situation, like, I think it's really just a bad look on the NBA because a lot of folks, I'm not a big NBA guy, but a lot of folks look at Draymond Green and say, Draymond Green is one of the most talented players of the last decade. He's a winner, despite what you want to say about him. Personally, like, he wins on the court. He's part of that winning culture there that Steve Kerr created. You know, Steve Kerr will lecture a lot of people about a lot of things, but I hope that he finds a way to tame Draymond Green because they built something there, and it's sustainable. You know, they win in 2022 against the Celtics, right? Like, they have a sustained level of success there with Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson and all the other folks who have been a part of that team and Andrew Wiggins a couple of years ago and you know, all these things. They have a sustained level of success. You know, Denver I think was able to, you know, take care of him, if I'm not mistaken, last year, but they're in it every, they're in it and around the mix every year, and I never count them out. But I think Draymond is slowly but surely walking away from, you know, and I know I'm just looking at the standings now. The Warriors aren't doing that well this year, so maybe that's part of the frustration. Neither are the Suns compared to expectations, but, you know, they're still, you know, there's still time, and with the expanded playoffs and everything, I would never rule out Golden State. But I think Green is in jeopardy of sort of being remembered even more as sort of an a-hole player, right? Like, Steph Curry's going to get naturally all the cred for a lot of their winning on the court. But I think Draymond's right up there. And unfortunately, because of his poor decisions, like this one, his reputation is slowly being ruined. And we know in sports how long it takes to rebuild a reputation. Like, Brad Marchand has had to work pretty damn hard for the Bruins over the last, like, 5 to 6 years, repairing his reputation from when he was a young player. Thankfully for him, it seems like he's done that, and he's now ascended to be captain of the Bruins, right? And so it can happen in sports. You know, I remember a couple of years ago where in hockey when Tom Wilson was public enemy number one for all the hits and things that he did. You know, I think McAvoy will have to learn, you know, sticking on the ice there. But in the NBA, like, there have been guys where they've been superb players, but what they're remembered for is either being a diva or, you know, being a troublemaker. I mean, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, whatever his name is, he had a great NBA career. You want to know what I remember him for? Running into the stands and punching people. So I hope for Draymond's sake he's able to take care of that sooner rather than later. All right, what else do we got here? Rapid fire around the league. I'm not taking the cheese on the Bill Belichick reports about him no longer being the coach and that decision's already made. I'm not going to take the cheese yet. It's not something that is going to get leaked in the media in December. It's something that Kraft is going to come out with a statement like the Tuesday after the season ends, or the, you know, Tuesday before the Super Bowl, or something lame like that. It's not going to be something that's leaked from the team in December. Like that's just not going to happen. So I'm not taking the cheese yet. Shohei Ohtani has surpassed Messi in jersey sales as the quickest athlete ever. I forget what the exact figure is. I believe maybe it was a million. I cannot remember the fastest athlete to eclipse. No, you know what it is? It wasn't a dollar figure. It was the most sold in the first 48 hours. So the Ohtani to LA thing is only going to get more interesting. Let's see what else we're going on here in the NFL, MLB, all around. We still have nothing from the Red Sox, which, you know, is par for the course, I guess. Speaking of golf, John Rahm going to live. That sucks. You know, first of all, I'm a big Rahm guy. My dad's a huge Rahm fan. He was great for the PGA Tour. I know that they're going to end up being one and the same essentially someday. But it just kind of does sting a little bit recently to hear that. What else we got? MLB. Let's see. Nothing's really going on. Tommy Hunter retired. Forgot he was even still pitching. Not much going on in baseball, the hot stove. It's kind of cool. I think we're waiting for Yamamoto news and a lot of Jordan Montgomery news there on the pitching front. NHL-wise, talked a little bit about it. Bruins' tough loss last night to Jersey in OT that snapped a 6-game winning streak against the Devils. Hard to see the Bruins win a lot of games if they don't score a lot. I mean, Swayman had 34 saves, but it just wasn't enough. I mean, if you lose 2-1 and your goalie saves 34, I mean, the defense, in my opinion, did their job. There's just a lot going on, guys, in the sports world. You know, I think as we get towards the end of the year, we're going to have a lot of hot stove baseball news hopefully will be coming up. People are going to start to quiet down a little bit around Christmas time, I think. But the NFL, with all these marquee games, we talked about Dolphins, Ravens. We talked about Ravens and 49ers. So the Ravens have their work cut out for them. We talked about the Chiefs and all that. I just think we're getting close to the end of the year. And in 2024, There's going to be big sports stories. Some of these are going to be off the field, you know, about gambling, about contracts, about stuff like that. Some of them are going to be on the field. Some of them are going to be really close to home. Like, is Bill Belichick going to be the coach of the Patriots? You know, but I think as we end the year, there's one thing we can all agree on, and that is that traffic sucks. I left work today early, went over and got a sandwich. Took me 30 minutes to get home. I live 8 miles away. 30 minutes to go 8 miles in rural Maine. Everybody is just on their phone, not paying attention at red lights. People are crossing at non-crosswalks. You know, Maine, we have 18 pedestrian deaths this year, which is like, we're going to eclipse last year. And this isn't something for me to joke or rant about. I mean, it's serious. Like, whether it's the fault of the pedestrian or the motorist is really up to the particular case. You know, I'm not going to paint with broad strokes other than to say that everybody just needs to pay the hell attention. You know, I was behind people that are on their phone at a red light. They're not looking around. I was pulling out, taking a right. Somebody was taking a left into my lane. I had the right of way. They were clearly on a green yield. And they were about to cut me off if I wasn't paying attention. And so, like, I know all my listeners, you guys are smart people. Number one, you're smart because you listen to this podcast. Number two, you're smart because sports fans are inherently smart because we have to pick apart things. And we're inherently street smart, meaning that we, you know, have good common sense. Unless, of course, you're a Jets fan. But, you know, beyond that, I think that if everybody just paid attention and got off their phone for 5 seconds, not, of course, if you're listening to this podcast and you have it plugged into your speakers on your car, then you're okay. But honestly, like, people just need to get their heads out of their you-know-whats this time of year. I get it. It's the holidays. We're all stressed. We're getting ready for a vacation or something of the like in, you know, about 10 days. But just, nobody needs to die over it, right? Like, put your phone away. Our cars these days are basically made out of iPads. I mean, you have an iPad right there in front of you. There's no reason to have, you know, your phone in your hand. And two hands on the wheel, headlights on. If you're walking and you're a pedestrian, wear protective clothing. Just everybody try not to kill people. And, you know, I think we'll have a better holiday season, right? And please, I would hope this goes without saying, and again, my listeners, we're all smart people, I would assume. We're all law-abiding folks. Don't drink and drive. I mean, my goodness. The amount of people who I see, and, you know, it's holiday party work season. The amount of people that I see that have a lot to drink and then walk away with car keys scares me. It scares me as a motorist. It scares me as a friend and family member and hopefully a future parent. Get off your phone. Don't drink and drive. Pay attention. I think we can all have a safe holiday season. You know, most of the time people say, have a safe and happy holiday season. Well, it used to mean don't get COVID. Now it should mean pay attention and don't be a moron when you're on the streets. And that goes for everybody. There are people who are hearing impaired, sight impaired out there who they don't have the reaction time that we have. So just be conscientious, all right? And maybe I'm not lecturing to my audience because you guys are all smart, you understand, but maybe this is just a PSA to share with your friends, like, who we all have that friend. You just look at them and you're like, yikes. But that said, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back. We'll be back this weekend if we can. With another quick episode. We'll see what happens with Pats Chiefs. We'll see what happens with the hot stove between now and then and whatnot. And then we'll see where we stand heading into the Christmas season, so to speak, and what we'll do for shows. Not sure. But in the meantime, check us out on Instagram and Twitter, wherever you frequent more. You can follow us there at Homefield Pod, and then also wherever you get your podcasts, we're available there too. Like, share, and subscribe if you haven't already. But until next time, my name is Will Hyland, and this has been Homefield Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week on those platforms, on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.